people that have, they have a heart for this and it just hasn't gotten the traction that it needs to get. And so what happens is you know that God's given you this passion for single parents, but yet you're not really seeing it manifest in the numbers in your group, or maybe it's not growing, whatever the case is, or you're frustrated because you haven't gotten that yes yet from your pastoral team, which can sometimes be difficult as well. And so we'll talk through all of those things. But the first one I want to talk about a few minutes is meeting times. Now, I brushed over this in the first session, but I talked about how a lot of churches do the single parent ministry on Wednesday night because they're already meeting for midweek services and they already have childcare, or on Sunday mornings and they make it a Sunday school class. And hear my heart on this, that is not wrong. If it is working for your church, our heart as a ministry is to just help serve you. That's it, not to tell you what is right or isn't right. But I will tell you this, if your heart is to grow your ministry, I want to encourage you to think about a Friday night, a Saturday morning, or a Saturday night. Those are the three single best times to have a single parent meeting. Now, I realize that that means that you're going to have to begin to create things like childcare if you move your meeting, or you're going to have to begin to think through things like having a volunteer team and what that looks like. It may not look like your Sunday school class on Sunday mornings. But when we're talking about 2 out of 3 single moms in the country not going to church anywhere, then what you have to understand is that's 2 out of 3 in your communities that aren't coming to your support group already. So whatever's working for you, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It may mean that you just begin to think about enhancing what you're already doing. Think about it. For the unchurched single mom that's already mad at the world because her husband left her for a girl that's 10 years younger than her, or for the single mom who had a child outside of marriage or 2 children outside of marriage and she's already embarrassed and carrying a world of shame, she's already made a bunch of bad choices, or maybe there's some type of disappointment or hurt in her life, whatever the case is, she's not the girl that's coming on Sunday mornings to your Sunday school class at 9 o'clock. That's just the truth. She's not. She is the girl that's going to be struggling to make it to big church. I know that we don't call it that anymore, but you know, to your worship service. I've been calling it big church since I was a little girl. But she's not the lady, you know, and the same thing is true for men as well. But we tend to spend most of our time with single moms because domiciliary custody, over 80% of those that have primary custody happen to be mothers. And so that's just how our ministry evolved. I'm not anti-single dads ministry. I will just say this because it popped in my mind. I get a lot of questions about single dads ministries. Our ministry does help to start single dads ministries. And I know that here at First Baptist, you guys do it as single parent ministry and you do co-ed. I'm not anti-co-ed. I will say this to you. We have found that it is much, much easier to do gender-exclusive single-parent ministry, where you do single dads ministries, and then you do single moms ministries, and then you do quarterly gatherings or monthly gatherings where they can fellowship together. It just removes any element that you would have that would be difficult in singles ministry. And we all know what those are, so we don't need to spend a lot of time talking about those. But it will just remove some of the things, and men can be much more transparent when no other ladies are in the room, and the same is true for ladies when men aren't in the room. So that's the only thing that I would say about that. But talking about meeting times, the other thing that I want you to consider with your meetings is, do they drone on and on? Now, I know that this is such not a religious thing to say, but I just have to be honest with you. We have all been part of a Bible study that went on and on and on. And you're looking at your watch and you're thinking, I thought this ended at 8, or I thought it ended at whatever time. And you just need to be careful that single parents are battling a lot of obstacles. They are busy, they are working 2 jobs, they are trying to get kids' homework done, they are doing a lot of things. And whenever you have a Bible study and you're not respectful of the beginning and ending times, then what you might see is that it's hard for your ministry to grow, or your growth may stunt because of that. Now, they won't tell you that's why, but that is why, very often. And a lot of this material was developed through surveys that we asked the single moms, what works in your church and what doesn't. So these are the things that these single parents want you guys to know that they may not necessarily tell you. And the other thing is, you know, Satan is going to tell them all of the things that they've done wrong over and over and over again. That's going to revisit their mind. And so when you're in a Bible study and you're carrying shame because maybe you don't have your life right with Christ yet, and maybe you already know it, but you're carrying shame about it, and you're sitting in a Bible study, you feel like there is a spotlight on your sin. We have all been there. We have all felt like that something we've done that's wrong, that there is a spotlight on that sin. And so sometimes for single parents, what we need to think through is whenever that Bible study just drones on and we're not respectful of time, we don't start and end on time, they're saying, you know what, it's just one more thing in my life that's on my to-do list, and they don't ever start or end on time anyway, and so why be involved? Those are just things that are very logistic, and you may not have even considered it before. You can dismiss, if you're supposed to dismiss at 8:30, dismiss at 8:30, and if parents want to linger and talk, that's fine, but it's more informal at that point. Those that need to leave can do so. All right. The other thing is meeting twice per month. Now, we have seen ministries all over the country work very differently. We know some that meet once a month, we know some that meet every week, and we know some that meet twice a month. We have found that twice a month is a good balance between the two, and let me explain why. If you meet once a month, the difficulty is in forming relationship. If they only see each other once a month, if you happen to miss February's meeting, you may have not seen someone for 60 days, it's very difficult to establish relationship, which we know is very important in ministry. If you meet every week, one of the things that you're going to find difficult is in retaining volunteers. People get burnout. Single parent ministry is very high level, high need ministry. You're dealing with constant crisis all the time. And so what happens is, as leaders, you are constantly seeing your volunteers come and go. It's difficult to keep them engaged. So the twice a month, we felt strategically both gave the single parents a time to fellowship on a regular basis, but we were cognizant of those that were volunteering in our ministry not being overwhelmed with too many duties, because many of our volunteer leaders are also single parents. And so it gives them an opportunity. They may want to fellowship in between our meeting times, but it's just a good thing to consider. All right. Logistics. Just talked a little bit with you about starting and ending on time. The meal and childcare thing has been something that people have asked me about many, many times. We 100% of the time, without exception, always provide childcare for any event that we ever do. It doesn't matter if it's an outreach, it doesn't matter if it's some type of regular Bible study. Anything that we do where single parents are gathering, we always provide childcare, unless it's an event that's kid-friendly and they can bring their children with them. It's like having a potluck with no food. You know, you got to be able to have this place for people to come and bring their children that is safe, where they feel comfortable, but also gives them a break. Some single parents do not have alternating custody arrangements where they have a break from their children at a given time. And so when they're caring for these children 24/7, that break may be the only break they get for a few weeks. So the child care is very important. Now let me talk to you about if you're going to do meetings. Maybe you're already doing your Sunday school class here on Sundays, but you want to do a Friday night meeting. You can do that at no cost to your church whatsoever. When we were running the ministry in early years, in fact, the first 5 years of our ministry, we did not use any church budget at all. All you have to do is get those that are already in your church involved. Teenagers who need volunteer service hours for school, the seniors in your church who may be looking for a place to serve, who feel like they don't have anything to give. There's all types of ways you can get free volunteers to come and facilitate childcare for you to do childcare. The same thing is true for a meal. We never, ever, ever gather without feeding the people. We have had children repeatedly say to our child care workers that this was the only thing they had eaten for the day. That is true whether you think the single mom is struggling financially or not. Many of the single parents in our churches don't share how difficult it is for them. They don't share financially how they're struggling. And so that meal, again, is just one small way to bless them. And again, it's a practical thing. If you're doing a Friday night meeting and you don't feed them, then that parent is trying to figure out how to feed them before they get gathered in that facility, and you just lose some parents that way. So when you're thinking about growing your ministry. Okay. Let's talk about recruiting, training, and empowering your volunteers. I talked a little bit in the earlier session about constantly thinking about someone to replace you. You should always be thinking about the next leaders that are coming through. And also, we know that volunteerism gives people value. So one of the tips I would give you is when you're doing single parent ministry, if someone ever asks you, can they help? The answer is always yes. No matter what, it doesn't matter if you have nothing for them to do. You make something up for them to do. And the reason is, think about this, and again, it's very, very practical, but when someone walks into a gathering and this is their first time, and they're sitting there and they're waiting for it to get started, and they've texted on their phone for a few minutes, they're kind of looking around and they're uncomfortable, sometimes just giving them busy work to keep their hands busy is a way that they can engage, and it allows them to begin to facilitate discussion with someone else, maybe another mom that happens to be standing there talking. So simple, but a way to also give them value. Everybody that comes through our single parent ministries gets a job. It also is a way to continue to have them to come back, because what they say is, well, I'm a greeter. I've got to show up, otherwise they won't have a greeter at the right door on Friday nights. It gives them something to do, and I have had time and again single parents who were really on the ledge, for lack of a better word. They were really struggling in their walk with the Lord, and maybe they weren't being completely transparent about that. But they said, no, you know what, I'm on the food team, and I know I've got to show up. And it was the thing that kept them coming back again and again. And so when you're thinking about raising up leaders, you don't necessarily have to be looking for leaders right away. Just look for servants. Because you will begin to see, and God will place that in your heart, the people who begin to lead very effectively through their service. Also about, and this is something that, again, they may not necessarily tell you, make sure you're diversifying your volunteer base. And when I say diversifying, I mean race, age. When we go somewhere, we all want someone that looks like us. That is just the truth of the matter. When we go into a gathering, when we go into a church, when we go into a social setting, we are looking for someone that looks like us. If you want to grow the ministry, you want to look for those people that are in your community that are not yet in your single parent ministry, you need to look at your team. If all of your team looks like you, then everybody in your single parent ministry is going to look like you. So thinking through, do I have people on my serve teams that represent different demographics, different ages, different socioeconomic statuses that really would resonate with some of our attendees? It's so practical, and yet it's something that people never consider. It's something that we never talk about, but you need to begin to think about that, because we know that single parents come in all different shapes, sizes, and stories. And if a mom comes in and everybody else in the ministry that she talks to, and we know that the volunteers are the first people they typically talk to, have all been divorced, and she had a child outside of marriage, and she feels like, well, gosh, nobody's like me here. I don't really fit here. This is only for women that have been married before. Then she doesn't come back, because then all it does is reiterates the shame that she already feels. The same is true in any other scenario. If you are trying to diversify your ministry and everyone in your ministry is Caucasian, then you are not going to have African Americans attending your ministry. And again, that's not politically correct to say, but that is the truth, because we all feel that way. We want to look around the room and say, she kind of looks like me. I'm going to sit by her. And so you begin to think about how to grow the ministry in that way. Okay, considering what you were teaching in the ministry. Now, I kind of joked about it in the earlier session when I talked about the Proverbs 31 woman, and I talked about, y'all, I love the Proverbs 31 woman. Okay, I love all of the things she represents, but when you constantly feel like you don't measure up, because when a single parent has gone through a divorce, they have all, regardless of why they went through the divorce, they have all felt like, I wasn't good enough. If I would have only done something better, this would not have happened. They have all struggled with those questions, okay? When those things begin to happen, we have to consider what we're teaching whenever we're bringing unchurched single parents in. And if all she's hearing about is how to enrich her husband's life, as the Proverbs 31, then it's not going to resonate with her. So we have to think about very practical tools. I would encourage you that having godly leaders in your church that are passionate about financial management. We talked earlier, Terry and I, about Financial Peace University. I'm a huge advocate of financial education within the church. Maybe you've got a banker that goes to your church who's really passionate about helping single moms to plan for their children's futures. Those don't seem like really important topics, but where else do we learn about these things but in the church? So considering those things, it may be the very thing that will get some of your unchurched parents into the church. Is, oh, you know what, they're talking about money management tonight. I need to go and hear more about that because my money's a mess right now. I mean, that it really and truly practical things. Things like the emotional stability. So you begin to think about unforgiveness. Even when you have a very healthy single parents ministry, and what I mean is spiritual maturity is represented in your single parent ministry. A lot of your single parents have been attending for a while. Many times unforgiveness will be manifested deep within, and it's not something they talk about. They've been divorced for 5 years, 10 years. They don't even realize that it's something that's been unaddressed. But unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, three biggest things that single parents are going to struggle with at some time. And the anger will continue to resurface when you're looking in the eyes of one of your children and you feel like there's a absentee parent that's not being as involved as he or she should be. Man, that anger can come back again and again, and so those issues arise. So thinking through the materials you're teaching. Parenting, if you have a diverse demographic, you have people who are parenting toddlers, you have people who are parenting preteens, you have people that are parenting teenagers and beyond, you need to consider what you're teaching in regards to parenting. And I would just say to you regarding parenting, teach on principles and not necessarily age stages. And so if you have a gathering of single parents and you realize that they represent all different age groups of children, then teach on the biblical principles of parenting. And then you can subdivide them into ages based on their children. So you may have a big gathering of 50 or 100 single parents, and you say, okay, we're going to teach for 20 minutes on parenting, and then we're going to break up. If you have toddlers, you're going to go in this area. If you have teenagers, you'll go in this area. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And I want you to write down questions, because as soon as I finish, we'll open this up for questions. Utilize social media. This is kind of a given for anything in ministry right now, but be active and be relevant. Don't put, just a scripture a day keeps the devil away, okay? I mean, we got to get real with these people. Be real and honest and open with them. Talk to them. And social media can be in a variety of forms. You can do a closed Facebook group if you want to have a little bit more privacy to engage with your single parents and monitor who's coming in and out of the group. But being able to really foster dialogue among single parents. We do a little event every Tuesday on social media, and we have about 13,000 single parents that participate in just open dialogue. Tell me what, broad topics. Tell me about sexual morality. What are you struggling with in that area? Let's talk through that. I mean, things that matter to these single parents. Don't get on the surface. Get deep with these parents because they want to learn and grow. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, closed Facebook groups, Pinterest, we have very active Pinterest, things like mama's looking for crock pot meals on ways to get these babies fed well. I mean, practical things. And then email database is important to make sure that you're communicating with your parents on a regular basis. There are parents that will come to your ministry and be involved very actively for months or even years, and they fall away. Nobody did anything to cause them to fall away, but they fall away. Maybe they fell into sin. Maybe they got a new boyfriend or girlfriend, and so they fall away, and that kind of fills a need for them. If you keep them on an email database, and you're just emailing, and you're saying, hey, if you've fallen away from our single parent support group, we'd love to have you back at any time. If you ever, just keeping that open line of communication, they will come back. I've been doing this a long time. They all come back. Shockingly, they all come back because they know that you care. You've done the work of establishing relationship. You've done the work of pouring the compassion into them. You're not in judgment. You're not pointing fingers. So they come back. The only time that we don't come back is when we felt like they didn't understand us and they judged us and they knew we were going to fall away. We've all sinned, right? Doesn't the word say we've all fallen short of God's glory? Sometimes as leaders, we forget that. Sometimes as leaders, once we get saved, we get far removed from the grace we needed to get saved. And we begin to look at all of the things that are wrong in everybody's life that we're ministering to. And if we're not careful, we can become very judgmental. When you keep them on that email database, when you keep them connected via Facebook or whatever the social media is, it really lets them know that you're thinking about them. And you know what God will do? So many times He'll put somebody on my heart and I'll just see their name come up in my Facebook feed and I'll just, hey girl, just was praying for you, thinking about you. God will use social media in a way that it's just unbelievable to me. So be sure that you're active. If it's not your thing, then give it to someone on your team that can do it. That might be something that they want to do and will give them something to do in the group. Have fun and be open to change. The worst thing that we can do sometimes as leaders is get real stuck in our routine. Well, the way we've always done it since 1975 was we always sang three hymns at the beginning of service. We all get stuck in our routine. Most of us don't like change. I mean, we kind of like the way to we like to know what to expect next. But keeping it fresh and new in single parent ministry is going to be the thing that's going to constantly attract new people to your ministry. So what does that mean? What are some fun things you can do in the ministry? Since when is it that we can't laugh in church, have a good time, play games, enjoy one another's company? It doesn't always have to be ABC Bible study. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? You make an announcement and say, you know, we're going to do a big field day at church next week. I don't know what that looks like for you, but just having fun and just letting them know that you're there for them. I mean, prayer has taken place over an egg toss at our church. I can't even tell you how many times. God's going to show up. But sometimes it's just good to laugh with each other. And that being open to change, God may have called you to start the ministry, but He may not have necessarily called you to lead the ministry. This is a really hard thing for some leaders to get. He may have put this burden on your heart for single parents, and maybe He's moved you into single parent ministry for a season. But that does not necessarily mean that you were the one that He intended to lead that thing until Jesus comes back, okay? There are people that may be better equipped to lead that ministry. And so you have to constantly be sensitive to the Holy Spirit on that and be aware when God's speaking, it may be time to pass over the reins to someone else. The change part also may mean, hey, we've always met on Wednesday nights at 5:30. We've always done that. It's what's worked for us. You may need to consider some of the things that we've talked about over the last session or so. What are some things that I need to change that would reach more single parents? What are those things? Okay. Oh, this one is a difficult one for leaders. Raise your hands. I'm sorry. I know that I asked you this, but I just want to see real quickly. How many of you are current or former single parents? Okay, almost everybody. That's how most people get into single parent ministry. Not always. Sometimes you just have a heart for it, but most people have that personal story. Are y'all the only two? Are y'all married or no? No, y'all not. Sorry. That may be another discussion for later.
We volunteer in single parent ministry.
Yeah. Oh, sir, I love it. Yeah. I love it. But,
that's
so awesome. Yeah. But you know, the thing is there's a reason that God called you to that. And so it's not, I don't want to say that you can't be effective in single parent ministry if you weren't. But let me say this about leading in single parent ministry. This is not the time for you to share your story. It's the most difficult thing for leaders, and it's really beyond single parent ministry. It's true in a lot of Bible studies. Leaders spend 45 minutes of the hour talking about what's going on in their life, what has happened in their past, how they dealt with this situation. Really effective leaders teach and then they facilitate. And the most important thing is the facilitation, because that's when problems are going to come out, questions are going to come out, discussion takes place, value is taking place within that. So it's not the time for you to share your story. And so I don't know if somebody needed to hear that, but just in case you did. there's nothing wrong with sharing your story. I hope you understand my heart behind that. But just these people that are in the ministry are there because they need to share theirs. And you may need to say, hey, I've been through that at one point in my life and God's going to show up for you. But it doesn't have to be all about you, and it shouldn't be. I've said this many times, it's probably something I say almost every single day, but I'll say it again because it's worth repeating. Relationship development comes first. Every single ministry leader that has ever been successful, it is because the people that they are leading felt like they cared about them. Every single one. You may start a Bible study and you may go through a 6-week study on something and that's great, and there may be some in-depth teaching there, but the people who come back over and over again are the people that you took the time to learn about their children. You took the time to learn about where they worked. You took the time to learn about the things that are hurting them, that are causing them pain, that are prayer requests in their life. You have to develop the relationship. And I would tell you that if you spent, especially if you're new to the ministry, if you spent 90% of your time developing relationship and maybe 10% of your time in ministry, that will begin to level out later on. It's so much more important to have the relationship. Okay. And I mentioned this before, but I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes about that, and then I'll let you guys ask some questions. When you're planning a single parent event, you don't have to always do the thing that you've done the last 5 years. If a single parent's, Mother's Day tea is something your church has always done, or maybe a Christmas outreach is something, I don't know what your church does, so I have no idea. But you don't have to do the same thing year after year after year. You can switch it up. You can do different things, new things. Be creative. If you Google single parent ministry ideas, trust me, we've got a dozen articles on our website about things that you may not have even thought about yet. And there's lots of other great ministries out there that have ideas for you as well. But constantly keeping it fresh, that's a theme throughout our ministry. I really do convince the girls repeatedly, you're gonna miss it if you don't come Friday night and we pass out $800 worth of free diapers, you're gonna miss it, which we do. We get all types of donations and bless the parents that come, but just in encouraging them that there's always gonna be something fun. We've been praying for you, thinking about you. And there have been times when there was ministry plan and God showed up and laid on one of our leaders' hearts, we just need to be in worship. We just need to stop and have prayer time. We just need to stop and lay hands on people and really just believe God for their life. And so we get away from just the basics of ministry sometimes, don't we? Because we got to get our 10 points across. But that's what ministry is about. It's on the front lines doing life with people. So I'm going to open it up. We have about 5 minutes, maybe six, to just whatever questions you have. If I haven't covered them, I just would love. Go ahead.
Okay. So, reaching the unchurched single parent, single mom, what are some ideas of how to do that?
Okay.
Like, because you have to get outside the church walls. You have to get outside the church to find out unchurched. So, any ideas?
Yes. Any ideas. Yes, I have tons of ideas.
Mine goes along with it. So
yes.
You
yes.
Think.
Yes.
Okay. So, how do you find them?
Yes. So, let's talk through... some of the, and again, these are all just ideas. These are places that we have found single moms. Over 70% of the kids that are in daycare are single parent homes. And so have you partnered with local daycares? Have you created flyers that just say, hey, open to the public, we'd love for you to come be part, and just pass them out at local daycares? That's one of the simplest things that we did in the beginning, is put flyers out at the daycares. Another thing is college campuses. So not necessarily traditional college campuses like four-year universities, but community colleges, technical schools, and trade schools. Most of those schools have adult learners, and so that's a place where a lot of single parents are. So that's, again, just one other quick thing. We also have, long before I had a TLSM, I had business cards that just a quick, on the front, it had my phone number, my contact information, or however you want them to be able to get in contact with you, and the frequency that we meet. Every first and third Friday night at 7 p.m. at this address, we'd love to have you. And when I'm in the grocery store, look, I'm sure I have freaked out some people. But God will just, my prayer every single morning is, God, give me a sensitivity. Help me find the people that need to hear. And so I'm pushing the cart at Walmart, and somebody's kid's rolling out on the floor in a fit, and of course it's a single mom. And so I'll say, I know you're gonna think I'm crazy right now. This is literally what I say. But are you a single parent? every time, 100% without fail, they're always single parents. I have never walked up to a person who was not a single parent. And so just saying, you know, I just felt led to come over to you. Please don't be weirded out, but I happen to work with single moms in the Houston area. I happen to work with single moms wherever you are. And I'd love for you to come. And is there anything that you need from me? It just opens up, you know what? Almost every time they'll cry. Almost every time. They are overwhelmed and exhausted. I mean, so it's just those kind of simple things. Again, social media has been a huge impact for our ministries and just reaching out. The other thing is, was just thinking through, I don't know if I should say this or not, but being creative about what you call your ministry. You know, when you're thinking about unchurched women and you're calling it, I don't know, I can't think of one. I don't know what y'all call yours, but, you know, just thinking creatively through, what are the things that are going to get these
sometimes
people in the door?
Sometimes saying something like support group instead of Bible study.
Yes,
makes
yes.
it a little more inviting for someone who might be intimidated to show up at a church.
Exactly, exactly. Because, you know, I was sharing that story in the first one about the mom who said when she came one night she didn't even know it was a Bible study and how God showed up. So again, we're meeting at the house of God. We're on fire for Jesus. We're not making any apologies for His word, but we're thinking about people that are scared, that just don't know, that maybe feel like they're never going to measure up.
Trigger words.
Yes, exactly.
Off, you know?
Where are some other places we've met single moms? Found
them. Do apartment complexes.
Oh yes, apartment complexes is perfect. Thinking through your schools, especially if you've got any impoverished area or inner city area, almost all of the parents happen to be single parents. So depending on how big you want to grow your ministry, trust me, do one meet and greet at a school, at an elementary school. And
yeah, and what do you
just
mean?
A meet and greet where you...
schools are not too receptive of church type things.
Yes, they...
When you say support group... I promise you, I worked as a nurse at a, prior to working for TLSM, I worked as a nurse, and I would, you know, I think in the general public, people are like weirded out by churchy things, mm-hmm. So if you say something to the effect, well, we just have a support group for single moms at, you know, we happen to meet at Healing Place Church, I don't know why they just melt. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I need that. I need women who know what I'm going through. I need, you know, people who know what I'm going through. So
you bring up a good point, Natalie, about the relationship between schools and even government agencies in relation to churches. That is absolutely a concern, and there are times when that's difficult. But I will tell you, like, I'm going into a public school on Monday. You know, most schools will say you can't talk about God. They said, listen, it's an inner city school, very, very difficult. Teen pregnancy rate is out of control, drug use gangs. They said, we are desperate. Anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, desperation brings Jesus.
If you go into the school, the children are there, but not necessarily the mom.
Right. So what you're doing is you're meeting with either a guidance counselor at the school, assistant principal or principal, someone that's a decision maker, and you're saying, listen, you're beginning the dialogue about what you do in the community for single moms. So that's what it looks like initially. And at an open house, like a parent-teacher open house, all you're doing is you just have a vendor table like you would at any other event at a church and say, would you mind if I passed out information to your single parents? And shockingly, you would be surprised at the number who are just looking for some help. The hospitals in our community are another place. Lots and lots of unwed pregnancies are taking place in the hospitals. And again, some of the nurses, they may not be able to talk about church necessarily with the patient, but if the patient is sitting in their office crying, saying, I just need some help, then would you mind if I gave your information to a single? They have to know you exist.
I can tell you,
health units.
They're desperate. It's like what she's saying, they're desperate. Like in a school, our pastor recently went to our mayor and said, look, we just want to help you. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the mayor just kind of fell out on the desk. Like, we've been waiting for someone to ask us, like, what? You know, like what we're usually the ones trying to fix it. So they're looking for people to support them. And if the, like she said, a principal, a decision maker of some sort, they know who the single moms are. They yeah. need you. Yeah.
And they will, and a lot of times it comes through the relationship. They trust, they have to trust you at first. And it's been Kiwanis clubs, community groups. I will go into any of those. And as a faith-based organization, they will invite
food
me in.
Banks.
Yeah.
Like Montgomery County Women's Center is a place like one that we
Yeah, any homeless shelters, any place like that. It's just getting the word out that they know that you exist. Go ahead. Did you have something?
Well, I have another question.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Yes, we'll move on. She's like, are we finished with that?
No, please do. I'm really not, but I think this kind of pertains to most of, well, there's a few of us that aren't here maybe at first, but so here's the thing. We have three different classes right now, so we've grown to three classes. And we're a very traditional Sunday school, right? So I hear you saying awesome things about, you know, do this and do that in your ministry. But when you have, so then how would that look? Because to us, it's Sunday morning, you've got your teachers, right, in your class. You've got, you know, you come in, you mingle, whatever, you go and you sit at your seat, you listen to the teacher. Mm-hmm. You sometimes have discussion, and then you go to big church.
Yeah.
And that's the way it runs on Sunday morning. And then we have our events like Birthday Bash and those yearly events that we have. But I love what you're saying. I would love to know how to make that work. And maybe this is a Holly thing, but
yeah.
in a church where it's very, it's Sunday school.
Right, right.
And it's going to be Sunday school.
Right.
Or LBS, whatever you want to call it. And so we can't necessarily, I mean, maybe we could necessarily make it look like all these great things you are saying. So what, how do you keep the people who don't want to come in and hear about Ruth?
Yes,
or,
yes,
you
yes.
know, I mean, or want to dig into the theological background or the, you know, the deep, deep discussions about the Bible.
Yes.
So, you know, you've got your, how do you,
well, okay, so it's the question that you're asking is the question that every pastor has to answer across the country every single Sunday morning. He gets up and he teaches, and his audience is extremely diverse. And what happens is he teaches what God has laid on his heart, whether it's through a series or whatever the case may be, and God takes the message and he divides it X number of ways to reach each one of the people in the congregation. The same thing is very true for single parent ministry. And I do get the question quite frequently about the teaching and how do you keep everybody engaged. The people that are more spiritually mature, and I'm just using that term loosely because you guys will know what I'm talking about, the people that have been around a while, they're grounded in the world, they're living pure lives, they're trying to live their life for Christ, those types of things. Again, those are the people that are seeking out additional teaching. And what, again, this is a Holly thing, and I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel for you guys. This is absolutely something your singles pastors will I would love to have a discussion facilitated, but this is an idea. You still do what you're doing. You still do the Sunday morning classes. Obviously, that's something that's drawing people in. It's something where people get fellowship. I was sitting at dinner earlier tonight, and people were all sitting together and knew each other, so there are relationships that are established there. There's nothing wrong with that. And maybe what Sunday school looks like is a more in-depth study. Like all Sunday school classes look, you're getting more in the Word, you're learning and growing. But then what you do is you say, okay, once a month on Friday night, we're going to do a big gathering. Or maybe it's twice a month on Friday night. Whatever that looks like, where you can just, in addition to, say, what could this look like if I've only got 100 or so that are coming on Sunday mornings and 8,000 are coming to my church? What could this look like if we just do something different? Maybe you try it and it doesn't work. Again, I shared in the first one, we've tried a lot of things that didn't work. And so I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. And sometimes where you're planted in the community and the type of people you serve might dictate how you do your ministry. But I just think that it gives you a little bit more flexibility in the evenings and, you know, on a weekend also, because there's no homework. There's not some of the obligations that some of the parents are having during the week. It's the reason why some people can't make Wednesday night Bible study. It's not just that they're writing off God on Wednesday nights. Some single parents are working two jobs. Some people are just flat exhausted when they get home and they've got to do 2 hours of homework with their kids. So same kind of concept on why we say that weekends are better. I don't know that that answers the question, but maybe what it does is say, we need to have a meeting with Holly. Or Pastor Don or whoever.
Can I share an idea?
Yes.
Here's something that we've done. I'm from the Woodlands United Methodist Church. And one of the things we do is once a year we have what we call My Single Mom Night. And single parents, if you guys are single parents, you know, like, you are waiting on people 24 hours, 7 days a week. And on that given night, My Single Mom Night, we have church volunteers that come and wait on them. So when they come to the church, like, they're asked to be seated, they're served dinner, they're served dessert, coffee, tea, refills, whatever. We don't want them to get up. We want to love on them. And stuff. We provide nursery for that night. We order pizza for them. We have worship leader there leading us in a few songs of worship. And then we usually have a speaker like Jennifer. We've brought Angela Thomas. One of our pastors was raised by a single mom, and she's an author and speaker. So we had her and her mom up there together. So Jessica was the child of the single mom. And then we had, you know, their version. So every year we switch it up, but the logistics of it's the same. They get waited on and just loved on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways to be creative. I would say also connect on our website, guys, because we've got tons and tons of free info, and our time is up.
Yeah, it's up. And just go over the material.
Oh, yes. The website is the best thing because there's no way to tell you everything that we cover. Sometimes as single, we have 10 minutes.
It doesn't end until 10 or 15, quarter after. 10:15.
Oh, good. Oh, well, I'm rushing you. Thank you. The rule keeper in the room. Thanks. No, I thought it was 10. I thought it was past time. Oh, perfect. Okay, good. Let me just tell you quickly about the materials.
Starts at 10:30.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are looking for single parent ministry materials to give to your volunteers, we do have materials that are specifically for those that are leading, not for the single parents, but for those who are leading in single parent ministry, just to equip you. We also have consultations that we can do for you. We have webinars and trainings that we do on a regular basis for you. There's tons of stuff you can sign up for on our website to constantly keep you as leaders engaged. The most important thing for you guys is to stay healthy. The next session is talking about staying healthy in ministry in general, but just you staying healthy means that we're going to reach more single parents because you already have the heart for single parents. In addition to that, one of the other things that we do is our ministry has a membership for those of you that are leading in ministry. If you want additional resources, what that membership allows you to do is converse with other single parent ministry leaders from around the country. So you can go log in, you can create a forum that says, recruiting volunteers, where are you guys finding volunteers? You know, where you're facilitating those discussions with other people who do what you do. Because a lot of times you guys think you're out on an island and nobody else is doing single parent ministry but you. And so it's great to connect with people who are doing that. And then, of course, we have Bible study materials that we can allow you guys to teach in your ministry if you so desire to do that. And we have Single Mom University coming out as well. So get online and read all about that. Super, super exciting way for single moms to be able to dialogue about things that they don't talk about. A son that has an addiction to pornography, or maybe they have some type of sexual immorality in their life, or maybe they're just struggling because they can't pay all their bills. Things that may not necessarily come up on a Sunday morning in Sunday school, but a way that you can minister. Single Mom University is going to be a great way for those moms to be able to connect, and it'll be a way for you as ministry leaders to open those discussions. There'll be downloadable PDFs and things that you can print homework and offer them. Any other questions? We have a couple of more minutes.
I do have a question.
Yes.
You said two questions, actually. You said try not to share your story, but I almost feel that sometimes, depending on your audience, you have to let them know. If you just speak and start preaching or studying the word together, I find that they don't receive until they know that
you've been there
and you understand their situation. So it's like you have to find a balance.
You bring up an interesting point. I absolutely agree 100% with what you're saying. When I was making that point, I was speaking more specifically to people who you find are, and really to raise awareness, because you may not even be aware that you're doing it. But if you're leading and you're monopolizing most of the time in the group to talk about you, it happens more often than you would think, then that's when it becomes a negative. Absolutely, when you can share whatever you've gone through, maybe if you're an abuse victim or maybe if you've gone through a divorce, we want that. But there's a balance between that and you're trying to find your healing through teaching. that's a different story.
Here's one of the rules I live by on that. If I'm doing more than 10% of the talking, then I'm talking too much.
Yes. Yes, that's great. That's great. Just thinking through that. And you had one other thing you wanted.
Yes. The other one is when you have an ethnicity coming to a specific class, and you can see they're a single, you identify them, they are a single parent, and they're just looking around to see if they can associate with somebody, and they don't. So you're saying, how do we actually reach them? Because they leave and they don't come
right.
back.
Yeah. It starts with diversifying your leaders.
So you're saying, go out and do more.
Well, what you want to do is, okay, so let's just get very practical. Like, tell me, you're saying that an African-American woman would walk into your room, she would look around, most of the people in the room are Caucasian, and so she's like, well, I don't really fit in here. Is that what you're talking about? Okay, all right. Is that a fair question, guys?
Are we uncomfortable?
It's true.
Okay, all right, so, okay, good. So we're not uncomfortable.
let me say this. It could also be the opposite.
Yes, exactly, absolutely. This is for any demographic at all. So yes, when you look around and you feel like you're the only one, how do you reach those people? This is what I would tell you is, and this is, you know, this, it may be a challenge in that I have gone into predominantly African-American or predominantly Hispanic, predominantly. So I've gone into churches where that is the makeup of their church. And so because of that, obviously any ministry that takes place in their church is going to be predominantly that particular race or ethnicity, and that's understandable. But if your heart is, my community is diverse, but my Bible study isn't diverse, then that's a different story. So I don't really know what the demographic of your community is, so I may be speaking out of turn on this. But for us, let me just speak in Baton Rouge because I can speak to what's been experienced
for us.
Maybe
5% African-American here.
Okay, in the community?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you're...
In the church, not the city.
Church, not the city.
In the church. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So not in this. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that is definitely not.
So is your heart, then, let me ask you this. Is
I wouldn't say it's 5%.
No, it would be maybe one person. No, not
in Sunday school?
In our class, in the single parent ministry?
In ours.
Oh, wait, let's not get up. Let's not get up on track. But is your heart, you're saying, hey, I really feel like there are more...
I feel what I'd like to get from you is some advice over relating with them. Because the way I see even me as being Hispanic, you know, I could walk into a room and I can say, oh, everybody is white, I'm Hispanic.
So I'm not going to fit in or whatever.
But it has to do with, you know, who my identity, right?
Yes,
so
of course.
Who am I, and, you know... reality, my color doesn't matter.
Right, right.
What matters is when you speak to somebody and you're trying to speak life to them and love them, I mean, what are some things that we could tell them to relate to them and encourage them? You know, this is a family, no
yes.
matter who you are.
Number
and where you
one, listen.
Yes, yeah. You know,
well,
this is it. Look, it's we're asking the age-old question that won't be solved in this ministry right now, in this meeting. But I will say this, I think that people are fascinated when they come into our ministry and they see the level of diversity between Hispanic, African-American, Caucasian, and age groups. And I think that part of it was from the very beginning. I'm super passionate about race relations. You probably didn't know that about me when you were asking. But it's something that's always been on my heart, that God's family is so much bigger than our little box that we put people in. And so when I started the ministry a long time ago, I just began to pray that God would help me seek out people that were already in our congregation that might have a heart for single moms. And so that looked different for me. And so what that did was our base kind of would always, you know, represent. And there have been times when it's been disproportionate, of course, through the years. But I'm always looking for that balance of trying to find people that look. And I'll tell you the other thing. I go into churches all the time where I represent the minority. And so when you stand up on a platform with 1,000 people who don't look like you, and you say, okay, how am I going to share a story that resonates with them? Authenticity and transparency yes. breaks down walls. Yes. And so yes. that is, you know, when you say, and I would say, again, we don't have time to go into it today, but I would say that it's probably one of the biggest challenges in the church is the lack of authenticity. So we'll talk about something that cleans up really well. You know, I used to struggle with anger when I was 15, you know. But we won't talk about major issues that our church body is struggling with. And so because we lack authenticity, people feel like if they knew I had an addiction to pornography, they would never let me in. You know, or if they knew that I had sexual immorality in my life and I was still sleeping with my ex-husband, they would never let me in. These are things that are happening in your singles ministry, by the way, that nobody's talking about. Our ministry has always been so transparent, and I think it's been just my heart, and because it's God's heart, I believe, we just lay it all out on the table and say, His grace is good for that too, and that too. So I wish we could talk for 45 more minutes about that issue, but anyway.
Can I just say, what you just said, I think just like you had said, the relationship is very important.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, this church is predominantly all white, mostly, and then some Asians, blacks, Hispanics, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel exactly when you said a person walks in, you look around, I don't belong here, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it's a Bible study, maybe I shouldn't come here.
Yes.
But I tend to go more and feel more comfortable and open when the person, when I walk in and the person in that class said, well, hello, welcome, come on in, and then the relationship. Yeah. And then you continue to go back, and then slowly they would open up and talk and other things that are led to.
Yeah.
So it's a relationship.
You know, sometimes it's the leader taking. I love that. It's so true. The leader taking. When you do have a different ethnic background that comes, you being cognizant of that, especially since it's something that you are aware of and sensitive to, the Lord can use that. And you're being the one to say, you know what, let's go have lunch this week. I know you were new to the group. I'd love to get to know you a little better. Wouldn't somebody come back after you did that? Right. Sometimes it's just, you know, things that are hospitable in general, not necessarily single parent centric. Yeah. So thank you guys so much for coming. And we, time sure has flown. Let me get, we got a giveaway, guys. Don't miss your giveaway.
I'm glad you remembered.
All right, let's see. Oh, I have no idea what this says. Can you see? What does that say?
What was the first time?
Starts with an S. Is it an S? Is it an S?
Siri?
No.
No?
Laura, okay, does this look like anybody's handwriting? I honestly cannot read it. I'm usually pretty good at it.
So it's
him.
Is it?
It's him.
Is
I saw you.
Is this you? It's you! Something wonderful. You know what?
It's a gift card.
So you guys, you can go grab a break and
yeah.
go to your last session. Oh, let me pray for y'all. Yes, good idea. Father, thank you so much for your body. Thank you so much for new friends and old ones, God. And thank you that we all are part of one big family. And no matter where we are, what life track we have, no matter what story we have, what background, Father, you knit us all together in this unique puzzle to reach single parents for you, Lord God. And so I thank you so much for that. I thank you for fellowship. I thank you for a church that has a heart to reach the hurting and the lost. I thank you for church growth in a busy church that's busy doing your work, God. I just pray a blessing over the leaders of this church, over the pastors of this church. I pray protection over them. And God, for every person that's sitting in this room, God, I pray blessings over them. Lord, we love you and we honor you. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to go to the next one.
And this was talked about with Holly and everything.
it was decided that he's going to get the stagnant relationship and start new and fresh and life with the hope that we could draw in more people, right? More of the people who aren't necessarily in crisis or necessarily
in
a well, yeah, we're just talking about, like, so it's
not
right
of the deal, and it was
like,
Less,
just lost their right.
know, I got the new one. It's like,
I got the same one.
I want them. Yes. I know.
They are in the